How's it going, people? Welcome back to the channel and welcome back to the Big Six. Hope you guys are all good and well. I know it's been a week. We are only doing once a week throughout the summer. I'm getting a lot of messages saying, listen, we missed the twice a week shows. They are going to be back for next season, but let us have a little break during the preseason and whatnot. We need a little break too, people. But tonight's a big one. Lewis, City Extra, Dave, Touchline Frackers, two debuts, one show. Let's start with you, Lewis. Obviously, being next to me over here on the top of the screen. What are you saying, Lewis? First time on the show? First time playing together?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've linked up with Saeed and Matisse in that last week or so anyway. That was pretty sick. So, yeah, man, I got some big boots to fill. You know, who's been on here, Daps as well, and obviously the big man, Steve. So, hopefully, I'll give you guys a good show tonight.
Let's not forget Hugh, because Hugh shut it down last week, man. I like Hugh.
Hugh's my boy anyway, isn't it? Hugh's my boy anyway, man.
Come on. And big up David as well, Touchline Frackers. You have a show with Toby. Thank you for filling in tonight as well, by the way.
All good, man. All good. Pleasure to be on here. Toby, they described it as a lion's den.
Yeah, but you know how Lewis said big boots to fill, yeah? Yeah, you don't need to worry about that. You don't need to worry. You're good. You're good.
Someone in the chat already said, I'll tell you we look good tonight. So, yeah. You know, I don't know what my boy's been doing, bro.
You're winning. Where's his dressing gown? Yeah, you're winning already.
Might have to have another vote at the start of the season, but we'll talk about that later. Big up David. Big up Lewis. Listen, people, as always, show some love to the man them today. Lewis and David, both their channel links are in the description below. So make sure you go show some love to their channels, as well as Saeed, Grizz, Matisse, the official Big Six channel, Skullfuggery's channel. You know what it is already, people. Show some love around, because we all make it what it is. And FM London, the sponsor, 10% off all men's items. Anything from tracksuits to joggers to boxers to vests. Use that link, 10% off. Whether you use it tonight, next week, just go through there so they know you're coming through us. And grab something when you need it, people. Let's get into the show. I think first things first, it's gone from pretty much nothing to everything so far this week. Not everything, but a lot of the transfer rumours and headlines have been Arsenal-orientated. When you look at the Fabio Vieira signing over the line, Rafinha, apparently a bid's been made. Martinez, apparently a bid was made. Obviously, United seem interested now as well. I think it's only right to start at Arsenal.
Don't forget Nketiah, 14.
Hey, Grizz, I don't know, man. Maybe we jumped the gun with that good start David had. Maybe we jumped the gun. He's as sickening as Toby, it seems. But it is what it is. Big up David, man. Listen, Eddie Nketiah, 14 as well. If you want to talk about it, you can talk about it. I'm sick of talking about it. I'm sure a lot of people know how I feel about it. It is what it is, man.
Excited, isn't it?
Obviously. Listen, I'll focus on the exciting aspect of the week, which is Fabio Vieira, and then we'll discuss everything else. Vieira seems like a good signing. I don't know much about him. I've seen him here or there for Portugal under-21s in the Euro tournament last year. But aside from that, it seems a good signing on paper. Decent value, good age, hot prospect. I think, Grizz, you mentioned that you've seen him before, or Liverpool were interested in him. Do you know much about him?
Yeah, only because we were linked with him. That's the only reason I'm not going to sit here and I say watch Porto or the Portugal under-21s. You know what I mean? Well, I could say that and get away with it. But the only reason I know about him is because we were very strongly linked with him last season. But we went for like a right-footed version. It's not right-footed version. It's a bit different. But we opted for Fabio Carvalho. And obviously, we got Elliot, who plays in a very similar vein. So if you're asking me, like, what kind of player, then like a Harvey Elliott. Like, you've got actually probably the best comparison to him is Odegaard. So that's why it's a bit baffling for me. When I say baffling, you know, obviously the more better players you've got in your squad, you know, is good for you. So, yeah, you need options. But for me, he's a clone. He's a clone of Odegaard. Lovely player. Lovely touch player. Very slight. I know everyone's seen the pictures of him, but I've been saying he's very slight, very skinny. You know what I mean? He's got a... who's your first game of the season again?
Palace away.
That's it, bro. You know what I mean? Welcome to the Premier League, baby. Welcome to the Premier League. Yeah, exactly. But you know what I mean? When man like Coyote gets in, stuck into him, you know what I mean? Yeah. Welcome to the Premier League, baby. But
he seems lightweight, yeah. But in terms of the Odegaard comparison, I thought he was more dynamic than Odegaard. in terms of Odegaard can't really beat players like that. He's more slow, but slow on the ball culture. He picks off his space as well. But I thought Vieira was more a guy that can take on a player, at least get round the player.
I don't know. I don't see that in him myself, but it could be. I'm not saying I know everything about him, but from what I watched of him and read about him, because we were linked with him, he was like a, and I know I'm not saying this because we got Lewis from City Extra, but, and I'm not even comparing him before people jump on me, but David Silva. Yeah, like that type of player where he's all about intelligence. Bernardo's more dribbling. Bernardo is one of those ones that can keep, you know, Bernardo can beat a player. Bernardo's got stamina galore. This guy is a proper techie baller, man. But listen, the more ballers you get into your squad, I guess the better. But I'm not sure he should have been your priority. I'm not saying it is your priority, but there's a lot of other positions that I would have thought more crucial, more important to you. But yeah, good signing, good player.
Yeah, people have been telling me that, I have not seen anything of it, but people have been telling me it's like Bernardo Silva. But I got to say, yeah, Arsenal wind me up, bro. Arsenal wind me up. Because you know what it is? They don't sign the right players. And this is what Grizz is saying now. You're not signing the right players, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, but I got Gabriel at the back. Nah, he's not it. I told him about that. Get rid of him, man. He's useless. You know what I mean? Left back, Kieran Tierney. Is the guy ever fit? You know what I mean? You need to improve the positions on the pitch. I like Arsenal, man. You know, I grew up liking Arsenal. Obviously, they were the ones challenging United and that at the time. So I had to default support Arsenal. I like Arsenal. I like the way they do things. But the club winds me up because they don't go for the right players. You know, you should go pick
Jesus out, is going to be a good signing for them. Jesus is a good signing.
Let me tell you, Jesus will smash it at Arsenal. He's obviously worked with Arteta before. He's a good player. But again, penny pinching, Grizz. I'm seeing on Twitter like, oh, you know what I mean? They want to negotiate, you know, down. This is the same thing with Arsenal and it just never changes. Go out and be a big club, man, and just do the business. Show everyone that you're here to play ball, but it's always...
Are they not copying your model, though, now? Having 2 8s and then having a holding... It's almost like copying the Guardiola.
Lewis, it's the first time I'm having you on. And obviously, with Steve, he I'm not going to say he was a massive fan of Arteta, but, you know, he believes that Arteta might become a good coach, become a good manager and achieve things.
I think so.
Do you see similarities with what he's trying to do? And do you think that can work on a budget?
Are Arsenal on a budget? One of the biggest clubs in England, man. They shouldn't be on a budget.
With this ownership, we are.
Yeah, but you've got 100, like net spend, surely you can spend 150 mil. Yeah, so just go out, buy Jesus, buy a £50 million defender, one that can actually defend, you know what I mean? And then go and get out someone in the middle of the pitch. Have you tried to do it that Partey fella, to be fair? But, you know, he's not really done it for whatever reason, injuries or just not got the running form. And just go bang, bang, bang. But instead, we're messing about with the Vieiras. You know, Vieira ain't going to do nothing. That's what it's called, Vieira, isn't it, or whatever. He ain't going to do nothing to Arsenal. He ain't going to make Arsenal go from fifth to fourth. But if you go out and get Jesus, you know, a big dog centre mid and a defender that can defend and maybe a fullback if you can find the funds from down the couch, then maybe you could get fourth. Just wind me up sometimes, Arsenal. I feel like they're always this far. And obviously this season proved it. Top four was close. Blew it. They're always this close to doing what they need to do. And you did it when you could have won the title, man.
My thing with this Arsenal, and I've said it before, is profiles. Like, you see what you lack, say a DM, right? You need somebody who's going to be a little bit more of an enforcer in midfield. Every time Partey's injured, the midfield is destabilized. There's no balance. Xhaka has to go to left back. Xhaka can't really be the sitting DM because in build-up play, at times in tight space, we've seen some over the years, he's been caught lacking. He's also not a DM anyway. He doesn't cover the ground as much in that regard. Elneny is that guy, but he's not elite. So you know you need a DM from last summer, but yet you're looking at Tielemans. I'm not saying that you don't need Tielemans, but if you've got Odegaard and you're getting Vieira and you've got Saka and you've got Smith Rowe, where's the DM? Like, you can say you need Tielemans, but what's more of a priority here? Covering that back four and making sure that the defensive record that really has been the same for the last two seasons actually improves, or adding another player into midfield who can go forward, be one of these goal-scoring eights or whatever you want to call them, and still have an imbalance in midfield again with a Partey that you know is going to get injured, and then people are going to complain again that we have no DM.
I was chatting to a few Arsenal guys, but the feeling that I get, and it's good because you can get Turkish's feeling on it, you know what I mean? but a lot of people are saying that Partey is going to be the DM. So he is a DM. And that's why I think he's a very good player, but I don't think he's a DM, especially a lone DM on his own.
Yeah.
He's either used to be playing in as a part of a pivot at Atletico or as a box-to-box. Now, if you're suddenly converting him, and you're converting him not in an elite team like Man City, Liverpool, but you're converting him in a team like Arsenal that already has their issues, and you're making him the sole DM for your season, I don't know. You might be looking at a DM. I don't know. Turkish, you might know better if you guys are looking at a DM. But it doesn't seem like you're looking at a DM. You're looking at Tielemans. You've got Vieira. You're looking at Rafinha. You're looking at Jesus. And then you're looking at a centre-back. But you've got Saliba coming at centre-back back, haven't you?
Yeah, that's what I was going to... Go on.
Yeah, so I was going to say, DM. And I know, I don't know if everyone saw the clip of Kompany bigging up Sami Lokonga, is it? So I know they got high hopes for him, but if your DMs are going to be first choice Partey, and if he's not there, Lokonga, or look, how do you say his name? I beg his pardon.
Lokonga.
I'm with Lewis that I don't know if that's enough for you to get you into the top four, because those other clubs around you are spending money as well.
It's not enough, though.
So it's good. Mm. No, I think it's good. I think they're all good players. Vieira, Tielemans and Jesus. I think they're very good players. But it's the, as Matisse says, it's not the right profile of player for what I thought you needed. But that's just me.
When I look at the...
It's an arms race up in North London. Everyone, you've got to get it right. You've got to hit on them transfers. So, you know, I think like Matisse said, you know, if you're going after attacking players where you need defensive, you know, you don't really want to waste time, really. Like you see, you know, once teams start moving quickly, getting their targets in, and everyone wants to get it before pre-season. We know what next season's going to be about. Got the World Cup, five subs, all that stuff. You need to get it right from early.
Mm.
The thing with both teams, you know, we'll get onto Tottenham probably a bit later, but
yeah.
Both teams in North London both have holes in their first team and depth. So it's a massive transfer window, and let's see what this Vieira turns out to be. It's an interesting name to walk back into the Emirates with. So personally, I hope he flops, obviously, but we'll see.
Obviously, there's a few things to address. I'll start, I think, with Lewis. I agree on the Tierney part. With Gabriel, I think, to be honest, I think Gabriel's done decent enough. I think he's good enough to remain at that centre-back. But then Saliba comes in, and I want to see what Saliba does next to Gabriel as well. I have more doubts about Ben White than I do Gabriel. But with Saliba coming in centre-back-wise, I'm okay considering the budget. I know there's an argument about budget, but Martinez is an interesting option for me because I agree with Lewis on the Tierney thing. And I agree with Matisse on Partey. Both those players, injuries cost us towards the end of not just last season, but the season before. Those two positions, you know, in the middle and left back, they both cost us two seasons in a row. So I'm looking to shore up those positions as well. So I agree with you 100% on that. With the Vieira one, it kind of came out of nowhere. And it kind of, it adds to that whole, is Arteta copying Pep's philosophy? Instead of getting an out-and-out goal scorer, he's trying to get 5-6 players to get 10-15 goals. Now, one thing is on a budget. And another thing is, both Liverpool and Manchester City are moving away from that. Both have got strikers in now, big money strikers, where they're expected to bag 20 goals, whereas we seem to be going into a season. And I know there's high hopes with Jesus, but best believe Jesus is not the answer for Arsenal in terms of banging in the amount of goals necessary to cover for the last couple of seasons in terms of...
I think he could, bro. I think he could. I think Jesus up front... For, what?
20.
I think he could. I'm not saying he will, but I'm saying he won't be too far away if he don't get 20. He's a good player, Jesus. He's a good player, man.
I like him.
You got to remember, yeah, this guy come over from Brazil, right? You know what I mean? When he was like, what, 19? Coming to a club where Sergio Aguero was the starter. Whenever Sergio Aguero, no matter how good Jesus was doing, yeah, scoring a hat-trick or whatever, Aguero back, see you later, kid, you're out the team. That's not easy for a 19-year-old to do. He's been played left wing, right wing, striker, false nine. He's had to do it all whilst being second choice. And I tell you, I think he's a good player, man. And I think 20 goals, if he starts every game next season, which he could do because he's got a decent injury record, I reckon he could bang in 20 goals. How much you signed this Vieira for, by the way?
About 30 million, yeah.
I just think that money could have been so much better spent, man. And I agree with Grizz.
I think it's for depth, though, Lewis. I think it's for depth. I think Arsenal, with the injuries.
Yeah.
The injuries. I think the injuries last season, I think Arteta would have looked at that and thought, right, there's no more excuses now, because he was moaning and moaning about fixture list. And I think now it's just about depth. I think they will still play the system. I just can't for the life of me see Partey in a lone six. I just don't think it'll happen.
The thing
Xhaka,
is,
most of Xhaka will play in that,
position, though.
Yeah, he's playing. My issue is not really Partey for me can play the DM or he could play next to the DM because he's done that before. My issue is Partey's injury issues and then not having adequate like quality cover for Partey. And then there's a massive drop off to Elneny in terms of just like on the ball. Obviously, Elneny's always going to run his socks into the ground and whatever. But in terms of actual quality in midfield on the ball, when Partey comes out, the drop off is nuts. And all Arsenal fans were saying it. Oh, look at us without Partey in midfield. So if you know that, then you have to make sure that you have adequate replacement for Partey. And you can't tell me or you can't say that, oh, we can't get a top quality DM because Partey's there and no one want to play with behind Partey because Partey doesn't have to play DM. Partey can play next to the DM as well. Like he's done it before.
That's why I have all the links over this past week and we haven't even touched on Rafinha and is it even worth going for him when you look at what we've got? Martinez is the one for me that interests me the most. Not that I know much about him. I know we've got Ajax Player of the Year, but in terms
they've upped the price as well now. They've upped the price.
But centre-back, left-back, and I've heard DM as well. That's exactly the positions we could use some reassurance in. That would be an ideal for me. But obviously, I don't know much about him, so I don't know in terms of how well he covers DM. Obviously, I think majority of his games were centre back last season, if I'm not mistaken. But
yeah, he's not no DM. He could cover your left back at a stretch, but he's really like a pit bull of a centre back. He's not very tall. Again, this is what I don't get. Like I don't even know why Man United are after him. He's a good player. He's 5'8", 5'9". Again,
I don't think height's an issue in this modern game. I don't think height's an issue.
Oh, you look at the centre. Who's won the Premier League in the last 4 or 5, 6 seasons? Liverpool, Man City. Look at their centre backs.
The best teams today in the league.
To be fair, Ake's not the tallest centre back.
That's why he don't play every week, bro. That's why he don't play.
When he does play, he's a good player.
Maybe he's got a great
big games.
You keep the ball for 95% of the ball without giving any free kicks away. You don't give set pieces like Arsenal. Arsenal, any other team that's got short centre-backs will get peppered in this league. If you're a team that's going to keep the ball and stop the other team...
But then you've got to feel like... Remember the Barcelona team, Puyol, Mascherano?
Different league, though.
Yeah, I guess
you
league,
have you not
also,
watched Premier League football, bro? What are you saying?
Never had Rory Delap.
Name one Premier League winning team.
I still think not a big thing for me.
I agree. I don't think it.
I think it's
a massive thing. Ask our coaches. Even Pep has talked about you have to have physical attributes in this league, even though he's the ultimate tick attacker.
So physical and height. I don't.
But let me ask you, Saeed.
Are you trying to compare them?
When you roll up to Liverpool this season and Van Dijk and Konate are standing on the edge of the box for the corner and you got Martinez, what were you saying?
I heard nonsense like that, man. You're saying Premier League don't need height and physicality.
No, you ain't gonna have a problem with that man, hugging man's belly button.
No, but I think it's a bit overstated. I think it's a bit kind of over exaggerated the height issue. Someone that's 5'9", 5'10", like Timber and what's the guy that he said, Lisandro Martinez? I think you could get away with that. But for me, it's about, again, positional sense. You got the leap. You know, there's so much attributes.
His
attributes to kind of defending nowadays in this modern day era, especially when you're doing zonal marking and you got all these kind of one-to-one marking. There's almost this kind of like differences now, I think, in the modern game. But I would, for me, I don't know why Arsenal are not going for that Martinez. You know, they should be in for a multifunctional, could play left back, you could play centre back, could play that sixth role. He would be the one that you should look at. Then you could maybe add a Tielemans in there. I wouldn't even go for Tielemans first option. I'd rather go for Martinez first option. I think Tielemans, I'm not going to lie to you, man. Mobility-wise, I don't know if he's got it. I'm not sure. He's a good passer of the ball. He's pretty on the ball. But in terms of mobility and in terms of the press, I'm not sure about Tielemans. But each to their own. I don't know if they're actually going for him.
If we're talking about mobility, who have we got there now? Xhaka.
Well, there you go. Yeah, exactly. So that's why it don't make sense.
No, but he's much more mobile than Xhaka is.
Yeah, that's why Bissouma made sense. Obviously, Tottenham got him. But that was the one where he should have really got. That was the one. But again, it's one of them, isn't it? Like, I think with Arsenal, they're trying to play a different style of football now. I think they're trying to be more expansive. They're trying to get these little technical players in. And they want to play out from the back. Obviously, Saliba's come back now. So he'll be someone that could come in there. And they'll play out from the back and they'll be pretty. But honestly, if you don't get some physicality in there, they'll just get spun off the park. If they were to do Odegaard and Vieira and a party in there, honestly, it's a disaster waiting to happen. And even if you try and keep the ball, because this league is very, very physical, and this league will catch you. The teams like Brentford will press, and they'll catch you every moment. So I think that's a worrying bit. And why Arsenal are not looking to cover that position is baffling. But again, maybe that's a new style of play Arteta wants to play. Maybe it is.
We've got a few super chats in before we do move on. One here from Madudu says, the comparison with Odegaard is not really suited. Odegaard's best attributes is performing the pre-assist pass while Vieira makes the assist. Vieira more comfortable in the... Vieira more comfortable in the final third rather than the build-up. I remember I used to hear that pre-assist with Ozil so much. So much. Vigor says, big up the panel. Great content. Sir Alan says, Arsenal have a soft underbelly. Buy tough players. Lewis is right. Zizzy says, Lissandro Martinez covers left back, left centre back and CDM. Darcy, yes, LB. A lot of love for LB in the comments. When Partey played 23 games, our points per game was 2.43. 2.43 times 38 is 92.34 points. Second place. Hey, listen, first sports science came and sucked the life out of football. Now it's all maths. It's going to give me a headache, my guy. But we get your point. We get your point.
What the fuck did I just read?
It just doesn't work like that.
You can't take your word for it, really. It's like,
What did I just witness on that super chat? Man had me reading everything and like carrying the one and trying to work.
I didn't bother reading it. He can't make sense of the numbers. He's going
to
move
his team up to second place with a fully fit party all season. That is nuts.
Usman says, Timber is literally the best young centre-back in the world. Closest to Schlotterbeck. Please don't disrespect him when you haven't watched 20 plus games. Cannavaro was 5'9".
Yeah, but see, again, people haven't listened to what we spoke about. We didn't say you can't be a great centre back if you're not 6'4". No one said that. No. Like, Cannavaro is easily one of the greatest centre backs of all time. So many examples. Baresi wasn't 6 foot plus. You know, people telling me about Ramos, only 6 foot. I know, only 6 foot. We said in this Premier League to win the Premier League, you go through the teams. I can't think of a Premier League team. Hit me with someone that the only had one a partnership was of less than 6 foot.
Aspilicueta at Chelsea in the back three, but he was in the back three. And I think if you play a back three, you can afford to maybe lose a bit of that height on one of the sides. My thing with him, I'm not saying he's not able to do it because I haven't watched enough of him, but he better have a good leap and very smart and be able to navigate his, because the height is a weakness. But if you've got a good leap and you're smart, then you can make up for that deficiency. But if you can't, then you will get caught out. So it'll be interesting. But if he can play DM, then that's very important. You know, that's an extra.
All those defenders you mentioned, Cannavaro, Baresi, them guys, they were all elite at something else. I haven't watched Lissandro Martinez. I don't know if he's got elite attributes to make up for the fact that he doesn't have the height. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying height is be all and everything.
But no, exactly.
I get what you mean.
You've got to be elite at other stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like a short goalkeeper. But you've got to be elite at something else because you're going to get found out. And the Premier League ain't a league to take
risks. It ain't easy.
Just to clarify, this guy's coming in as like a backup, isn't it? Is he going to come in and just walk straight into the team? Or is he going to be like a Nathan Ake where, like, all right, yeah,
United side. Don't play every week. United.
Not for Arsenal.
Not for Arsenal.
This Martinez fella.
No, he's 50 million. 40, 50 million. He ain't no backup.
He must walk in at left back. Tierney's never fit.
Well, where was his majority of games played last season? Was it centre-back?
Centre-back, yeah. I think it was centre-back alongside...
If you want a left-back, you're going to pay for a left-back. If you want a centre-back that can play left-back, then you're going to... So I'm thinking maybe... Gabriel, and maybe it's depth in that position, or maybe I don't know. I don't really know what to make of it, but it covers the position.
Arteta's played a back three before, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Is it something to look out for? Maybe
he's played a back three in situations where we go down to 10 men.
Okay.
But then again, he's played.
But nobody's safe, man. Nobody's safe, man. I don't think Ben White and Gabriel are mainstays at centre back. That's my own opinion. I don't think nobody deserves to be a mainstay. At Arsenal, no one's got their position covered. Kieran Tierney's always injured. Tomiyasu's injury prone. Ben White's, you know, he's decent. He's had a decent season, but again, physically, is he great? And then you've got Gabriel, who I think has a lot of, you know, errors in his game. You know, that's my own opinion from watching him. So, and then you've got Saliba, who for me, I think deserves a shout in there. But I think he'll be used as a utility player. Arteta is keeping his you know what I mean, like he's keeping his opinions to himself. I think he'll keep it close, and I think he'll realize that, you know what, I'm in control, and he loves that control. I think Arteta, man, the way he comes across for me, he's a control freak, and I think he'll just keep everyone on their toes. I generally do.
But do you know what this defense actually need? They need a 30-year-old, 31-year-old, experienced leader at the back, top quality, world class defender. Because all the people that you've named have potential.
Who are you thinking though? Who are you thinking?
Donny at Napoli. What's that guy called at Napoli?
Koulibaly. I was exactly who I was going to say. If they were in the Champions League, if they had made it, I think Koulibaly immediately plays the
he plays what the side.
I think Koulibaly, you should look at Koulibaly, Matisse. I think you lot should look
we
at
should. We should, 100%. That's 100%. But like,
it's a youth project, though. It's a youth project.
Yeah, but bro, even a youth project, you need some experience glittered around a youth project. Youth learn best under experience. Jesus to Aguero, Foden to Silva, James to Aspilicueta. I can keep going. The best young players have always had older players facilitating them, teaching them, showing them the way to run day-to-day, diet, all these things. If you just surround youth players around youth players, then who are you learning off? Do you know what I'm saying? Why are you laughing, Gris? This is your team I'm talking about, bro.
You're spot on. I saw something else. You're spot on. Sorry.
Yeah, but they've not had experience players. You're spot on. David Luiz and Socrates they didn't light up.
Yeah, but bro, I'm talking about top level play. I'm not talking about any old experience.
Yeah, but this is Arsenal as well. This is not.
That's rude. What you did.
No. You know what? I'm not even bad with you. That's not even bad.
You're rude.
No, I genuinely wasn't. I was trying to say you have to almost like manage expectations, innit? Like experienced players are not going to want to play right now for a team that is very young and very team that's progressing in a different direction. You probably say in a settled back. I think Chelsea again. That's why I think.
Yeah, we should. I'm not saying he's going
to... doesn't already have a project. It's 2 to 3 years. It's you know, 3-4 years max, and then I get it. You're going to move on. Arsenal, they know what profile of player they're bringing. Everyone that's come in now, 23, 24, they know what they're doing. They're trying to go on that youth project, and that's what Arsenal are. It's a youth project, whether we like it or not.
You got to get the cash out, though, Saeed, bro. You can't...
they spent like... 400 million. Lewis, they spent 450
million. You can't accuse them of getting the cash out, Lewis. They're getting the cash out. It's just the profile of player.
No, but they're spending it on the wrong players. That's what I'm saying. You've got to get the cash out. And with a Koulibaly situation, they're not in the Champions League. But you get the checkbook out then.
You're talking from, you know what I mean? Come on, Man City.
It depends on how Arteta and Edu.
Look how you're talking. Let me say something. Like money goes on trees and shit, man. Come on, man.
Different lifestyle.
Oil pipes and shit, man. Yeah, different lifestyle, man. Come on.
But you know what it is, though? It's all about manager's philosophy. You're looking at Conte. He's looking to get players in for now. You're looking at Arteta. He's looking to build a youth project. Edu is looking to do that. Different managers, different philosophy. Conte's aim is to win now.
Let me tell you something about this youth project.
Arteta, man. 5 years, 6 years.
This youth project, yeah? The best young players will be snapped up by Liverpool and Manchester City when they get to their peak, yeah? When their contracts start running down.
I didn't say that, though.
When their contracts start running down and they ain't won enough trophies yet and they're like, oh, now that you finished developing everyone for us, now we're going to take them. And then we just continue the cycle of the youth project again because now this new Vieira guy, he's going to need time to acclimatize. He's young. Everybody's young, and it just buys everybody time. Same cycle, constantly. No pressure because he's young.
No. There's hella pressure on
that. And then everybody's like, oh, but they'll get older together. No, they fucking won't. Yeah, they'll get picked off. No one grows together. This is not a marriage. It's not a relationship, bro. There's other teams that will see your quality. Saka, if he's that good, 80 million, like we discussed on last show.
So what are you trying to say? Arsenal's a stepping stone club, then? Is that what you're trying to say?
They're setting themselves up to be, because if they're not going to do anything now, then they're just setting themselves up. That's what they're doing, I think. They're just setting themselves up.
This is the third youth project that we've been in since the Emirates.
I know.
It's the third youth project we've been in.
Now, but what I disagree with, though, that, you know, that if you're thinking that he's trying to buy himself time or pressure, it ain't happening. The players that they're after and the money they're looking to spend. Yeah, the money they're looking to spend and the players they're after. Look, I'm a enabler of Arteta, right? That's one way of putting it.
Yeah, you are biggest enabler.
Yeah, but I didn't say supporter or fan. You understand? I didn't say that. So I'm an enabler of Arteta, right? So what I'm saying is, if he doesn't do it this season, then I'm saying it, innit? I'm saying that he should get sacked.
He's not going to do it this season.
Don't turn on your guy like that.
I'm just saying, I'm not turning on him.
Yeah.
I'm saying if he gets the players that he's looking to get, which is the likes of Rafinha, Bezos, Kaiser's in the bag, yeah? And if they get a DM, I'm looking out for a DM because Bissouma was the one. And Spurs walked in there, took him, and they're eating nice, man. I'm telling you, Spurs are sitting there thinking one more signing and we're good to go. Arsenal not in that position. Arsenal thinking 2-3 signings, man. They're, you know what I mean? It's stressful. It's stressful.
Arsenal fans in the chat getting angry with me, right? Listen, I disagree with Grid. I think Arteta should be under less pressure this season because he's got Europe. He's got more games, right? Big up.
Couple more super.
I'm switching it this year.
Couple more super chats again. HK says, Matisse. Mikel Arteta knows what style he wants to play, hence the buys. Acting like prime Barca didn't have lightweight players when you retain a high percentage of the
ball. Oh, fucking thank you for the super chat.
Grizz is about to flip.
Jamie, come on, man. What are you even about to flip with that? No, you know it.
That's every day for me, bro. Every day I'm hearing these sorts of
prime
things.
Prime Barca.
Every day I'm hearing these sorts of things. What do you want me to do?
This is when I switch, innit? This is when I switch on Arsenal. I try to be all nice. I speak nice about Arsenal. And then you get Arsenal fans
super
like
Mikel Arteta, man. They said it.
Jamie says Torres, Dyer and Romero the best defence in the Premier League. I think that's all the one more just came in. Arsenal are building something powerful, says Jiba Karma. Okay, we'll see. Half an hour in, people. 4.6k in the building. Hit the like button first and foremost. We haven't even touched 1,000 yet. Before the show ends, let's touch 2,000, and make sure you guys subscribe to Lewis at City Extra and David at Touchline Frackers. Both links in the description below. Same place as usual, including Saeed, Grizz, Matisse, Skullfuggery, the official Big Six channel, all of that. And FM London, the sponsor, 10% of all men's items. Moving on. Arsenal was clear the headliners this week in terms of movement and interest and whatnot. I'm struggling for second. I think Chelsea, because of the rumoured interest in Sterling, and finally the Lukaku saga seems to be coming to an end. Matisse is chewing that gum frantically, but you're going to have to talk about it, my guy.
I want to hear this.
Listen, yeah. You see that video going around on Twitter? That ain't me. Yeah. That ain't me.
That's what I want to hear.
You man are good editors. I'm not going to lie. Like, the lips are all in sync and it looks like me and whatnot, but that's not me. Yeah? That's not me. Even Rants, I seen that clip on YouTube. Mad. All right, mad. Listen, I already accepted my L on this show in January, innit? So I'm cool as far as I'm concerned. This is just old content. You man can rinse that, enjoy that. Do you know what I mean? The streets are dangerous. The streets are dangerous. As Skullfuggery said, the streets are dangerous. They're not safe. And it was me that got hit by the car. I thought it would be you lot. You know, I thought all you guys would get hit by the car, but I got hit by the car. So somebody I wasn't wrong. You know, the streets are dangerous. I just didn't say who for. Do you know what I mean? So it's not that bad. But yeah, man, I'm just happy he's gone. I can't lie to you, Turkish. Like, the guys, I've been waiting.
Have you got finessed, though? Are you just happy to go?
Have we been finessed?
Let him come in.
My pockets have been patted down in East Croydon, bro. What are you talking about, finesse, bro? Like, we've lost our credit card. We've lost our security. We've lost our deposit. We've lost everything, bro. We've lost absolutely. And you know what's so funny about this deal? There's no obligation. He's going to come back next summer after probably tearing it up in Serie A. Maybe he'll win another Scudetto. And Inter Milan are going to come back to us and they're going to be like, 4 million loan this time. And they're going to be able to do it every year. Like, he only wants to play for them. They're the only ones that actually want him. And we can, throughout this whole contract, all we can ever do is be like, yeah, take him on loan and just give us a little bit of compensation money for the trauma. That's all we can ever do. We can never be like demanding 40 million from them, because they'll just be like, who are you? Like, you're not no place to talk. Do you want him back? You can have him back if you want. And then everybody will start shaking. So yeah, man, we put down a big payment for the house. Do you know what I mean? 1 year, 10 year, you know, tenureship. And yeah, now we've been given compensation for the trauma. So it's peak. It's very peak.
Shall I tell you, like, I think Turkish, we need to, you know what I mean, put a poll up or something in the chat, because this is one of those questions that I asked on my channel yesterday as well.
We'll do it.
That's a genuine question. Like, is it the worst transfer ever in the Premier League? Now, before people start throwing names, when you're involved in a transfer as bad as this, you have to look at what they bought him for, what the aspirations were, what stage of they were, right? So they were looking to, just won the Champions League. They're looking for someone to score goals to elevate them into the Man City Liverpool title race. Yeah. Not only did he fuck all that up, yeah, he ruined the atmosphere in the team, the coach, the leaks, the whole harmony in the team, put that all into the pot, stir it up a little. It's one of the worst transfers I can think of.
He did it by Christmas as well. He didn't even wait
by Christmas.
Yeah. The fastest, yeah.
Before Christmas.
Before Christmas.
Before the Christmas party. He said, no, I'm ruining this Christmas party.
Like, man.
No one's turning up.
Man didn't even let everybody have a good Christmas before he come and run amok. Like, it's crazy. So soon.
And the money as well. What was it, like 97 mil as well?
97 mil. The way I say it, and that always solidifies it for me, is it's like paying 97 million for a one-year loan, and the loan didn't even bang. Do you know what I mean? It's not like he finished a top scorer, golden boot, won us the league, and then we had to send him back. The loan flopped, and we paid 97 million. And obviously he had the highest wages in our team, and like Grizz said, all the intangibles. Because I said it before, and then people started mentioning Maguire, which I think is a very, very close second, or maybe some people will say first. I feel like Man United fans may say Maguire because that actually resonates with them. Chelsea fans may say Lukaku, but I don't think Maguire got the same level of hype, unless it was Saeed. But I don't think anybody else hyped him maybe as much as...
Yo, listen, man. Chill, man.
But Lukaku, speaking from someone who actually hypes Lukaku to heaven and hell, because this guy came in and we thought he was going to be giving us leadership. We thought, like, not just goals and, like, you know, spearheading. We thought he was going to give us, like, the intangibles. Loves the club. You know, he's going to lead from the front. He's going to be, like, one of your captains in your squad. So when you put all of that into it...
That's my point.
It's mad. Like, it really is a letdown. Like, personality-wise, tactically, system, performance, everything is just peak. So I'm just glad he's gone, man. You have no idea how happy I am. Like, honestly, I went for drinks last night when it got confirmed. Like, I'm more happy about this than when he signed that. The only reason why I haven't put out a video yet, it's because I don't want to be quote tweeted again, man. It's long.
Did you reckon it was destined to fail anyway? Because, like, it didn't seem to me that Lukaku really wanted to go anyway. It seemed like he was, like, loving life in Milan, yeah? And it seemed to, like, a big cash, big pay, you know, coming. And not only that, yeah, he was under massive pressure. Obviously, Chelsea just won a Champions League, yeah? So, obviously, he was coming in and it was like, well, you got to perform because you're coming into a Champions League team. Was under massive pressure. You know, he's never really slammed in England anyway. And he didn't really want to leave Inter Milan anyway. It was like, it's all hypothetical now, but it looks to me like that deal was destined to fail from day one, man.
What makes it better for me to enjoy, just so as a Spurs fan, is the fact he had the whole childhood club thing, right? And when he came back, all the videos, the emotional, it never worked out for me as a youth. Now I'm back, I'm going to prove myself, holding the number nine. We all know about Chelsea number nine, Torres, Kesman, you know, Lukaku, they're all cursed. Do you know what I mean? Like, for me, that's what makes it even worse that it didn't pan out. Like I said, by Christmas, he'd already ruined the thing. He's twerking on TV, telling, you know, Inter Milan, I want to come back. I love you guys. You're in my heart. You know, I never got a chance to say goodbye. Boy, I don't know how you look about this.
When was doing Drogba was my idol, like, crazy.
All of that.
Maguire's a shout, though, to be fair, because United bought Maguire because they thought he was going to be like Van Dijk, bro. How funny is that, innit? They was like, yes, we're getting Van Dijk number two. Bro, that's nah.
You can't talk. You've had a few flops as well, Man City.
I guess it depends how you look at it. Mean? Like, Van Dijk, you could say he's spread out his madness over years, whereas Lukaku just kind of condensed it into one and bounced. So it depends if you want to suffer for years or do you want to suffer for 1 year. I don't know.
I think it probably goes down to Maguire and Lukaku then. And if we'd had a poll, it would be Maguire or Lukaku. What's the worst transfer? I think it would be close.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? On a real, I know Chelsea have been absolutely roasted on this deal, but like on a real, yeah, fair play to the guys who've signed him off for going for 6 mil. I know you've been roasted on the cash and that, but like it would have been very easy for them dons at the top just to go, oh, we can't loan him out for 6 million. We spent 97 million. But you know what? They go, nah, this guy ain't it. Get rid. I don't
care. You know why?
Do you know why they've done that, Lewis? Sorry, go on, say.
No, I was going to say, I think Roc Nation are quite close with with the Todd Bowley. Isn't that right?
Yeah, but can I also add, right, if this was Roman, you can all wax lyrical about Chelsea Roman era, and that's fair enough. But if this was Roman and Marina, he doesn't leave. He does not leave. You saw what happened with Kepa. He does not leave. They keep their investment. They hang on to him, and they force Lukaku and Tuchel to work together. So the fact that...
No. This is true. I disagree. Yeah, but then you know what that happens then, innit?
Yeah.
What? Tuchel gets sacked. That's what I'm saying. Sacked. And that's not good. That's not good. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So this guy has come in and he's promised Tuchel far more, what's the word, control.
Yeah,
and,
100%.
And you can see the relationship is dead between Lukaku don't look like the look of Tuchel. And Tuchel don't business with him either. So that's why they've been forced to let him go, you know, for free, really. It's a huge loss.
But Marina and Roman would never have let him go because Marina's all about getting her money back on flops. She did it with Morata. She hasn't got her money back on Kepa, so he remains. And she would have said, right, well, we bought him last summer. He's only been here a year. I want him to... And it even came out in reports that they wanted him... I think Marina and Petacek, they wanted Lukaku to stay for another year. They were going to give it another go. But for me, the fact that we've sold him, like Lewis said, the fact that we've actually said no, we're going to prioritise the footballing side of this, not the financial, that is much better than what we usually do, which is prioritise the financial. So it's a little bit of a blessing in disguise that Marina's obviously left the club today. Buck, the chairman's gone to a lesser role of more of an advisor, and Todd Bowie's just said, I'm running things until we get a DOF. I'm being chairman.
And guess who you lot want?
Who?
Martin Edwards, sir.
Our boy.
Yeah, boy. Listen. Bring him in.
So you know that
I didn't think it was possible, but
you know that way that every Chelsea fan's telling me, like, you know what I mean, shut up about the way you lot are run this and that. Yeah, oh, so now you lot want our boy to make sure he runs your club like the way we run our club. Oh,
well, there's a lot to do at Chelsea, man. I don't know what
is there more to do at Chelsea or Man United.
No, I'm just saying, just from
I know, but what would you say? Because I think we're both in a similar position, to be honest. I think I've said it.
I think we're in a bad situation, but I think equally Chelsea are in a dire situation. They need to replace their centre backs. They need some midfield area adjustment. I don't know Kante if it's the same Kante. You're looking at Jorginho. Obviously, the best of Jorginho. I think Kovacic is a good midfielder. You're looking up front. You know what I mean? There's not much goals in there. You know what I mean? You've lost your striker, whether we think he's a flop or not. Who have you got there? Pulisic. Ziyech's not really had his form at Chelsea. You know, not people are not talking about Chelsea in terms of there needs to be a massive, massive turn of fortune now in this next 7 weeks. And they need to get this Michael Edwards in quickly, get some players in. Is Sterling want to go? Does Sterling want to go? I don't know. But there needs to be a massive, massive improvement. You lost your best defender in Rudiger. You know what I mean? Your fullback areas are a bit, you know, sketchy because Reece James gets a lot of injuries. Chilwell gets a lot of injuries. Do you have enough adequate backup for there? You're playing a back three, so you know Thiago Silva's getting 1 year old. He's going to be 38 this summer. So again, there's a lot of problems I would say at Chelsea, and if he doesn't get fixed up, I think you're looking at a long, long season, Matisse. And I'm not even trying to banter here.
No, it's
Chelsea
true.
This next
it's
season true. Are in serious trouble if they don't fix their team up quickly.
I think we will correct these issues because now that Lukaku's gone, now that some of these other guys in the hierarchy who maybe are reminiscing on prices that they've paid and money that they're losing and a little bit of pride. Now that these guys are gone, we just got a new board today that was announced, like the list of names. They have no choice but to rectify these issues. It's staring at them in the face. Like, we need new attackers. We've been linked with Rafinha. We've been linked with Richarlison. We've been linked with Sterling. We've been linked with Dembele.
But no strikers, No strikers.
Again, similar to Arsenal, it's like not even really maybe going down the striker route and going with more of a fluid front three, which is what City did and Liverpool did. And, the striker market is really poor.
Yeah, it's poor. It's poor.
To be honest, the attacker market is not great. I would say, like, you've been linked with Antony. I feel like Antony needs another year at Ajax, personally. Just one more year. But the fact that you might even rush him in and just bring, you know, just go for it anyway. I feel like the attacker market is a bit stinky right now. It's not great. I'm not going to lie. And the two clubs who have maybe found the only attackers that were highly in demand outside of Nkuku, who's like 100 million. The fact that Nkuku's 100 million tells you about the market. Do you know what I'm saying? How can Nkuku be costing 100 million euros? That's nuts. I understand why Arsenal gave Nketiah the 14, man. It makes sense.
Oh my god! I still can't. By the way,
you're hard there still. I can't.
Crazy, man.
One player you might have been interested in, Sterling. I'll bring Lewis in here. Obviously, Man City, we talked about Jesus. Sterling's being linked to Chelsea. Mahrez has a year left as well. We'll stick on Sterling first, Lewis. What's your thoughts on that?
Pain, bro. I don't want this guy to leave the football club at all. And at the moment, we just don't know what's going on in it because obviously he's got 1 year left on his deal. So, you know, he has to, you know, he can either run it down, leave on a free, get off or sign a new deal. And I don't know, man. I don't know what's going through his head at the moment because, look, what you got to realise is, yeah, Jesus for us last season did play quite a few games on the right wing. I don't know how many, but especially towards the end of the season, you guys would have seen it in Champions League and that or whatever against Liverpool. He played on the right wing. So Jesus is gone, yeah? So already you've only got Mahrez to be in that spot. So there's one less place for competition, right? He's been playing for the last 18 months with no striker. So every time he does get the ball, he's crossing to a player that doesn't know where the back of the net is. And I just wonder, like, what's going through his head here? Because if it is about game time, then surely Pep Guardiola, yeah, and whoever else is involved in these negotiations can say to him, look, you're going to play a lot of minutes this year. And I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. Like, just sign a deal, Raheem. I don't want him to go in it. I think it's a terrible move. And the fact that we might not even replace him, that does not sit right with me at all.
Maybe Saka. Maybe going for Saka. I don't know. Maybe that gives a leeway for Saka. If Arsenal get Rafinha, City will have to do a madness. Because if they lose Bernardo Silva, they need to get some players in. Creativity wise,
Bernardo Silva, man, like who's going to pay up the cash for him? I don't think anyone will. But
if he loses, they need to. We need De Jong, man. He's slipping.
Bernardo's got like 3 years, man. He's chilling. But yes, I think we lose Sterling and we're losing Jesus. We're losing all the pace on that right hand side. Mahrez isn't getting any younger. You know what I mean? He's what, 32 or something like that. Cole Palmer, great young prospect.
Cole Palmer can
play
good
on that. Yeah, he's sick, bro. But he's the same. He's more of the same as Mahrez, left footed player on the right side. I want someone, you know, on that right-hand side, just be putting balls in the box for Erling Haaland next season. And if we lose Sterling, it's cutback FC. You know what I mean? I want some nice balls being whipped into the box.
Good problems, anyway. Tell you that.
It's not the worst problems in the world, Saeed. You know,
could have Ilango. You could have Ilango.
Sleepless nights.
You could have Rashford or Ilango. You know what I mean? Take them up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. Matisse, in terms of, you mentioned a few names, it's Sterling, Dembele, you mentioned. How high up the list is Sterling for you?
You're on mute.
I think Sterling's... Sterling is an upgrade on our attack, 100%. You know, he's going to come in. My only thing with Sterling is just hoping that he's not... because he started his career very young. He's 17 at Liverpool. And so mileage on his legs is maybe not the same as another 27-year-old. So I'm just a little bit cautious of the fact that he may have peaked or he may just be starting to come down. I don't know. But it's just a slight thing in the back of my mind. Obviously, maybe PTSD as well. But he's the wage as well, 300K. You know, do we really want to put him on a wage like that? That's quite high for us in our current predicament as well. I just think, for me, he's not going to fix our whole attack. He will definitely be better dribbler than most of our guys as well. But I do want someone with an elite level of passing. I think Ziyech was meant to be that guy. He's a little bit of a one-trick pony in terms of the pass that he plays. And there's not really anyone who can, you know, at City, you've got Kevin De Bruyne, you've got Foden, you've got Bernardo Silva. Sterling's receiving the ball quite advanced, whether it be cutbacks or it's in behind the line, and he's in the box ready to get goals, get his GA. But who's going to feed him that ball at Chelsea? Yeah, he can dribble past players, but in terms of an elite passer, we don't have that. So it's not just about being able to take players on and, you know, be at the back post for the tap in or score some goals. It's also about being able to beat the low block with a pass. And I need that. So I think if we get Dembele, which I don't know if that's going to happen, and we get Sterling, at least I can see balance in the wide areas where I'm like, okay, cool, we got a bit of everything. If we just get Sterling and say we get Richarlison and maybe that's about it, I don't know. I think the attack still, for me, is missing a few things. So I'm not excited, if I'm being completely honest. I think only, and I'm not even completely convinced on Dembele because I don't know if he's over his injury concerns. I know he's gone for a nice period of no injuries, but Premier League's quite physical as well. But I know with Dembele, he's bringing something completely different that we don't have. Whereas I think Sterling's like a more, he's a more like established, consistent Pulisic on that left. I think he's gonna dribble better than him. He's gonna finish hopefully better than him as well, more consistently than him. But I don't think, in terms of passing, I don't think we're getting what we need in this team. We still need more than Sterling, I think.
I think Chelsea are in trouble, me, bro. I can't even.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I think if you think City, Liverpool, Spurs, for me, are pretty much guaranteed top four. In my opinion, yeah, that's my opinion. So the only one spot left, and like you're losing, you lost Rudiger. Obviously, your attack is pretty dead at the moment. You do need to strengthen in that area. And I'm just like, this is a massive, massive rebuild. You just had the sale of the club gone through. You just said it yourself. You've just done all the board and that. You know what I mean? They've just been announced today. I just think, like, I think Chelsea could be in trouble for the top four next season. I really do.
Possibility,
Welcome to the party.
Excited, bro.
No, I'm not excited. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Griswood love nothing more than.
I've been telling them for months now. It's not a reactionary prediction from me. I've been saying it, you know, for about. And Matisse knows I'm sticking to it. That you guys have got a lot of work to do, and it's been a culmination of not just your owner leaving and sanctions being put on him, but just the last 2-3 windows, man. You can see it. They're not being like, you know. They missed out on Tchouaméni last season and went for Saul, for example, just one example. How disastrous was that? Not being talked about. Lukaku, we've talked about. Two of their mainstay centre-backs being not allowed to go, but going. You know, Alonso, okay, Chelsea fans don't like him, but as I said to Matisse, in my FPL, he's king. Again, walking away. You know, there's a lot going on there, man, and it seems to be a lot of work. I know you asked Saeed what needs to be done more. I think United probably, but you're not far behind in my opinion. That's mad. I think you won the Champions League only a season and a half or two seasons ago.
I think a lot of work needs to be done at all the clubs. You know, I think Tottenham obviously having the best window so far, but outside of City and Liverpool, I don't think anybody else is like not got work to do. I think Tottenham, like I said, have done a decent amount of work. They still need to sort out their defence and the centre back and get the right wing back. And then I think they've probably finished up there.
I can sense you're a bit too chilled out there, Matisse. I don't know why, man.
What do you want me to do? Too chilled. No, I'm calm, bro.
I think you need to panic, man. You look a bit chilled out.
I don't necessarily agree with what you guys are saying.
Deflecting a lot, man. Is that just me or is it just deflecting?
I'm not deflecting.
You just want to put some videos in.
I'll reword that.
Hold on, let me finish. No, there's a calmness. You want me to freak out, but it's not going to happen.
No, I didn't say that.
In order to assess where we're going to fall to, I have to assess the rest of you, right? Because you are the guys that are so going to claim and take the position off of us, right? One of you.
So is that how you're approaching it?
For one of us to fall at the top four, Manchester United need to take our position, or Arsenal. I'm not afraid of anything that you guys are doing. So in order for me to start quivering, shaking, running up and down, making more videos on Twitter, you man are going to have to make serious moves. And I'm not afraid of what you guys are doing at the moment. So as much as my team needs sorting, so do your teams.
No, but I don't think...
And I've seen this before where people go over the top with Chelsea and they say, oh, Chelsea are in the mud. When we had the transfer ban, they're going to be liquidated. They're not going to... We still finish fourth.
Matisse, is that the right approach to judge other teams?
It's not the right approach. But at the end of the day, it's still Chelsea. Like, we ain't going to just collapse and finish 10th. It's still a team. It's still a team that were top of the league up until early December before what happened. So this whole notion that, oh, Chelsea are just going to... This is still a team that went toe-to-toe with Liverpool. So, yeah, there's some players leaving and they will be replaced. But this notion that Chelsea are just going to just capitulate, like as if your clubs are even on shit, not really. Only Tottenham have become serious.
You man got
rejected by a guy that's going to Crystal Palace today. I saw you in the comment section on Twitter.
Well, listen, it is what it is. I'm understanding my problems. I'm understanding my problems, but I don't know if you are.
I know my problems. I told you my problems on your show. I went on your channel and told you my problems. Now you're telling me my problems back. I told Grizz as well. Both of you, I went on both your channels. I told you my problems. I told you with therapy that we...
No, I listened to you, man. Yeah, I was like a therapist.
An hour session, and now you come in and tell me my problems again.
I'm just trying to underline. I'm trying to just stress the point that Chelsea are in trouble. That's all I'm trying to say.
I think they could be in trouble. Matisse, last season, you finished, what, 5 points ahead of Arsenal? So you don't think Arsenal could do a 5-point, upgrade
that,
in Chelsea?
They've got Europe now, so I think that was heavily overstated.
But so do you, and your squad's thin, bro.
Our squad's bulky, but at the same time, it's not bulked up with quality. My thing is with Arsenal is that they had no Europe. They were out the FA Cup in January, and yeah, they closed the gap on us. But when you put competition, when you put two games a week back into their schedule, I don't think that they're going to necessarily go again up in an upward trajectory. I think they might just...
That's a fair point, because that Europa League is a killer, isn't it? You know what I mean?
It does kill
you off. But I don't know. I hear what you said about Arsenal. You don't think Arsenal are going to do it, but I mean, you did only finish 5 points ahead of Arsenal. You know,
but
I mean?
We played the most games in this country last season with injury issues, and they played the least amount of games in this top four fight. The context has to be applied.
At the same time, I could flip that and say, well, you've lost Rudiger.
Mm. But they will be replaced.
Was someone who got a Rudiger?
I hope so. The only way we can really decide this is at the end of the transfer window for me. We have to wait.
That's fair.
But I think that you're writing off Arsenal a little bit. So say you only finish 5 points ahead of them, bro.
He does that, man. He does that.
I did it last season, and look what happened.
For the record, I do think Arsenal will finish in the top. I don't know.
Listen, I spoke about Arsenal last season. As much as people want to say, "Oh, Lukaku this, Lukaku that," I spoke about Arsenal and I spoke about Man United. I said about Man United's system and the amount of mess that they've got in terms of player profile for Ragnick. And you, man, didn't do your thing. And I spoke about Arsenal and the fact that they'll collapse with their young team. And it happened. So, I might not be spot on with my team because I'm emotionally attached.
You are hiding it quite well, because imagine going from July 2021, Lukaku coming in, the final piece of the jigsaw, title charges next. Hold on. Less than 12 months later, you're at the table with Arsenal and Man United.
The new process. It's a process. I'm coming to you like
Welcome to the mud.
Oh, he said welcome to the mud, you know. My life's Turkish, you know.
My team won the Champions League. And now we're going under a new project, new ownership. We actually got a real new project, new board, new everything. You got this fake process.
You trust in the process.
You still got Kroenke. You still got all these guys. It's not really a process because it's not clean. My team's
only process.
There's never a process at Chelsea, though, is there? There's never a philosophy at Chelsea.
But bro, that's
under
Roman. This is what you need to understand. How are you gonna take anything that you've seen from the last 20 years and apply it now? This is all fresh. This is all new. We just cleaned out the fridge. No bad apples in here. Do you know what I mean? It's all fresh.
We'll find out.
You managed to do these processes with these same Glazers. Glazers?
You should be thanking us. Don't say that.
Glazers, Kroenkes. You said you're on the new process thing, but you still got the old regime.
Yeah, now you got an American owner. You will learn.
But our American might be like, Grizzlies. Might be like, Grizzlies American. You might have got one of the good ones.
Grizzlies owners hit the jackpot, mate. That was the only difference.
Yeah, man.
We might get Grizzlies American. You never know.
Between Coutinho and Klopp, they hit the jackpot there. And, but apart from that, I think even their ownership at times can be questioned. I don't know what he's nodding already. So,
last point, right? I know we're talking about us being in the mud, but listen. I know Grizz is calm over there, but after the way the season ended, you better pick up a Prem or Champs next season, big boy. You know what I'm saying? Big boy. You guys better do it, because it's every single year we go on with Liverpool not taking more titles of City, considering you guys are at your peak now. You know, we're all falling, but you guys are at your peak right now, so you've got to take advantage. And I've seen Mane leave and the tears and whatnot. You guys got different pressure on you, but we're watching you.
Matisse spent 5 minutes talking about his club, and then they spent the last 10 minutes shooting at everyone else.
He's trying to shoot at everyone.
Yo, he's on it.
That performance was like Lukaku, man. Get off it. Get out of here.
Get out of here, man. Get out of here.
Before we do move on, let's look at the super chats, because I've got about 15 here that I need to get through. Adela says, Matisse, you and Goldberg need to take it easy on all the Bowley love. He has done nothing. We don't know if they will make the right decisions. Max says, LB, ask Matisse to give Bowley a call and tell him they don't need Sterling. Crap finisher, pace merchant, will take the brunt of having him at Man City, says Max. Paul, Man United have offered 86 million plus Harry Maguire for Frankie de Jong. Barcelona have said they will just take the 86 mil. Raheem says, big up LB and the rest of the man. Them. Hope you're all doing good mentally, physically. Enjoy the summer after a hectic season. Ready to go again next year. Love for the love, my guy. I see a few more from you there. I'm going to get into them. You can't loan the same player twice in Italy. No more. All right. That's new news to me. Jesus is going to be a beast at Arsenal, says Raheem. Sad to see him go, but it is what it is. Also, City got to keep Sterling. He'll be great with Haaland in the team. Adrian, Matt Laws told ESPN that a move to Chelsea would hold great appeal to Michael Edwards, and Todd Bowley has him as the leading candidate currently. We'll see how that materializes. Matisse, chill. It's a loan with no buy option. He is coming back. He's coming back. Lukaku, he is coming back. Same time next year. Is that what you're saying, my guy? Grealish is going to cook next season. Invest now whilst you have the chance. Trust me. I'm not even guessing, just genuinely interested in what the MCFC stands for in Big Steve. MCFC. Tried Googling it and I couldn't find out. Come back next week, my guy, and we might let you know then. Pac-Man. Raheem's best years at City were with Aguero. He distracted defenders so he could sneak back post and score. No striker at Chelsea, so I can't see it working. Still a few more. Wee Snooker says, I want Sterling to stay. He offers us something different, but if he does leave, good luck to him. Been an unbelievable player for the club. A lot of Sterling love from the City fans. Jason says, just showing love to the full panel. Happy Wednesday and blessings to everyone. Love for the love, Jace. Adela, again, we are the top. We are the only top six team that can still make top four without making a single signing. Gallagher, Colwell, Ampadu, Gilmore, Matson, Vale, Dujon Sterling, Broha in the pipeline. And now we've got alphabets. We had maths earlier and alphabets now. Matisse brings up needing multiple passes for Chelsea, but then questioned the Vieira signing for Arsenal. We need more than just Odegaard. And big up Mo back in the building. Welcome to the Big Six, Lewis. Yes, yes. Glad you approve, Mo. You're a big supporter of the show as well. Jeeba says, why are our fans celebrating Lukaku's sale? Still no explanation why Tammy was sold. And Broha next. Massive pressure on Tuchel. He could get sacked. Well, we'll see. We will see. Who's next? Who's really next now? After, is it Tottenham, Bissouma, I guess? Even though we discussed it last week, this is David's first time. But yeah, David, I see you smiling a lot on the show. I see your chest out a lot on the show. I was hoping you're different to Tobes, but you're very much similar. So,
From the same cloth.
Cut from the same cloth.
Yeah. Listen, the darkness that birthed me, man, Spurs. It's a good signing for us. Our midfield is not the weakest part of the team. But it was crucial, like, that we had to get that sorted. To be honest, Bissouma's been probably one of the better players outside the top six. All clubs, you know, we know his talent, you know what he can do. You've seen him do it in big games, whether it be at the Emirates, at Anfield, you know, whether they're winning or not, you know that he's been the key key part of the whole Brighton project. So I'm very much happy to get him in. And I think Paratici, you know, I've got to give some shout out to him. He hasn't definitively beat the fraud allegations from the summer. He still did buy Emerson Royale, so let's be honest about that. But yeah, you know, he's done well since, you know, January, bringing in obviously Bentancur, Kulusevski, now obviously Perisic on a free, Bissouma. It looks nice, but we do have some obvious holes, like centre backs. We need to upgrade that. You need to get the wing back situation locked down, especially right wing back. We can't go into a season with that kind of many holes. And I think, like I said earlier, it's an arms race. Arsenal, Spurs, that fourth spot, or if you believe what's been said earlier today, that third spot is up for grabs. And everyone needs, both teams need squad depth and also that first 11. And I think when Spurs had a little run of, you know, relative success. You know, obviously, we were just, you know, getting Champions League, all that kind of stuff. No trophies, yeah, we know. Oh. Like, yeah, I know, sorry. We had a good first 11, and we knew our first 11 can go up against most teams in the land, you know. We were winning the odd game, the big six games, whatever the case would be. But it's when you look to your bench, and you've got Lucas Moura, Harry Winks, and worse, do you know what I mean? And I think Conte's right in the sense that, like, he needs a squad, you know, and I think that's the difference between him and previous managers. He's looking at the bench, and I didn't, you know, you said it when the day after we signed Bissouma, he was like, reports came out how he was complaining to the board that he didn't have any players on the bench to change the game. You know, when games got tough, you know, you think about the Man United game, you know, when they beat us 3-2, and Ronaldo just went mad. But do you have a midfielder to maybe stop the flow of the game, or someone to break it up, someone to maybe, you know, put a bit of pressure on them out wide, or just do something different, you know. And he's looked at our options and doesn't really feel like he's got that. So I'm excited to see what happens next few weeks. We've got a few. Perisic does what he does. You know, he's looking at tempers, and then he'll pick number 15. You know, and it'll just come out of the blue a bit. Basuma caught us off, you know, we didn't know it was coming. No rumours, no nothing, and then bang. So let's see what happens. Looking forward to seeing Basuma again against Arsenal. He likes playing against Arsenal. I don't know if you remember Turkish when Basuma played Arsenal 3 years ago. Kind of went viral with that little dancing on the centre circle. So we hope we can do that again. We hope we can do that again in Spurs.
I can't believe Tottenham put that in their promo.
You know what's funny, David? You mentioned a few holes in your squad, but I think the biggest hole that needs to be filled is in the trophy cabinet this season.
And oh.
With Antonio Conte, it has to happen.
It does have to happen. He's demanding, you know, and he's so demanding. He made Daniel Levy raise money and inject money for the first time in 20 odd years. So, you know, let's see. It looks like we're going in the right direction.
What else needs to be done? Is it a right back, and then what else is it, do you reckon?
For me, before right back, left centre back. Yeah. Ben Davies is decent, right, and he's done a good job for us, but he's not a top four player. He's not a Champions League player. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And we have to be honest about that. So we've looked at the likes of Bastoni, we've looked at other players. It's a mad one, really. Like after left centre back, I think then the right back situation. I think Perisic on the left. That's good. You know, he can use both. He's got the talent. I know people talking about his age, but that's all right. We're looking at Jed Spence, who I've been a big fan of for the past 2 years or so. I heard about him. I do a bit of coaching. I heard about him coming through the ranks and stuff. But I'm not sure if he's really top four like quality. Now we hope it bangs, isn't it? Like if he comes in, we hope it really works. But I just want quality. You know, I want to look at our team. I remember there was a few years ago when we played Chelsea in the semi-final or something like that, and we were up. It was like 2-2, and they brought on Costa and Hazard, I think. And I think we brought on a bunch of scrubs. It's them kind of things there that's like, we can't do that no more and expect to be challenging for any sort of trophy, even if it's the Carabao Cup. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, and for me, I'm not even one of them ones where, oh, it needs to be Premier League, it needs to be this. I'm not going to talk big. I just want to see a little shuffle and silverware that's not the Audi Cup. That's what I want to see. Yeah?
I think you need to be careful, though, Dave, bro, because, like, it sounds to me like you guys are trying to run before you walk in on a real... Like, let's be honest. Like, you came third in the league, right? And obviously you got some good results on that. But why are we talking about trophies all of a sudden? You know, or fourth, yeah.
Why are we talking
about trophies all of a sudden? Like, why can't the goal, yeah, for me, let's be realistic and let's have like a 3 or 4 year plan. Let's not run straight
into
the
trophy. Oh my God.
No,
like a legit plan, though. Not like Saeed's plan, though. You know what I mean?
No, Lewis, though. No. They've got to win a trophy in 4 years.
Let's have a 3-4 year plan with Conte. With Conte.
No.
Away from home to Burnley.
Hold up. Okay, so what I'm saying is, right, he's come in midway through the season last year, right, when he obviously, that other guy got sacked, right? He done a sick job getting you into the top four. You're not winning the Champions League. You're not winning the Premier League. All right? Yeah? Liverpool and City are miles above where Tottenham are now, and regardless of who you sign, will still be miles above. Tottenham's honest ambitions, yeah, and goals for this season should be to secure that top four again, maybe have a little bit of a run in the Champions League and see what it can do, and then, yeah, have a go at the Cups. But the 100% goal for Tottenham has to be to get back in the Champions League, man. And then you go again, you try and build.
I hear that. But
next season, isn't it?
Oh, next season, okay.
No, I hear that's that. The goal. Throughout the past 6 years, we've been in the Champions League. So I'm not saying that, we got that on lock. But we know we've got a team that can get us into the Champions League. We've been doing that quite regularly over the past 6 to 8 years or whatever it is. So now I'm looking at it and going, well, the next step is a domestic trophy, an FA Cup, a Carabao Cup. So, I mean, you've got a front three who we know are going to score goals. Kulusevski, Kane and Son. Son had an absolute blinder of a season. We know what Kane's all about. Kulusevski looks like he's a great player, you know, in the making. He's going to make sure, you know, hopefully if we get a bit more, like as a depth, it'd be Richarlison, Rafinha, whoever. Like, yeah, we should be able to score goals and put pressure on teams, especially in the bigger games. Now you're looking at the rest of your team, you're looking at when you're 2-1 up in a semi-final, can you lock off the game? Can you just secure it? Go right out that 10-minute period where Man City are hitting on all flanks. You haven't even got Aurier in the Carabao Cup final giving a free kick on the bloody touchline. Bruv, we don't need none of that. None of that dumbass play that we've been seeing for 4 or 5 years, which has hurt us in those cup competitions. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. Top four, obviously. At the same time, I want to see a nice trip to Wembley where I actually go into the game and I don't think we need a miracle to get this. And I think for me, like just even seeing the difference that Conte's made over the past 7 months or whatever, he looks like a manager you could kind of put your stock in those big games. I know everyone's in the chat going, oh, but it's Tottenham. They're going to bottle it still. It's Tottenham. Yeah, I hear that. Do you know what I mean? I'm not going to deny our history. Spurs have had the history of not doing well in those moments and flopping things when they should have been winning or whatever the case may be. But I trust Conte. And that's why even in the top four race this year, it was Conte that got us over the line. Do you know what I mean? Yes, we were scoring goals or whatever, but it was his, you know, mentality that you can see start to feel, you know, go down to the team. That's why Eric Dier, Ben Davies, Emerson Royale, whoever else was playing, they're not great players. But they drag us into a position to be able to benefit from obviously other teams' mistakes and whatnot. Do you know what I mean? So I hear what you're saying, but that's great.
Yeah, I think for me, it's now or never. I generally think it's now or never for Tottenham. And I say that because they've got a man who's a serial winner, multiple, you know what I mean, leagues in Serie A and whatnot. I get he's had an awful record in the Champions League, but I think different scenarios can work. I think his fortunes can be different at Tottenham. I think there'll be a belief from the fans. I think there'll be more togetherness at Tottenham. And I generally think for me, I get solidifying Champions League football, Lewis. I understand that. But they've got to have a... I think the aim of elite sport is to win. And I think they've got to now try and get them FA Cups in their belt. Try and get them Carabao Cups in their belt. And have that belief that, you know what? We're not just going to be that team that Arsenal just mock every season and say, where's your trophies? We're actually going to come here and say, you know what? We're going for the trophies now. And I think Conte needs to have that belief that he doesn't put them to the side and say, you know what? I'm dismissing that cup because I want to go find the Champions League. No, also take them seriously as well as going for the big trophies. But I think step at a time, yes, Lewis. But I also think Harry Kane, 28, Son, 28, 29, this is the two world-class players. Let's not kid ourselves. Players. It'd be a shame if they didn't win trophies under in the Spurs era where you have one of the best managers in the world. It would be a shame.
My thing with Pochettino, right? As much as he gave us a bit of a run, a bit of hope, blah, blah, blah. He treated them domestic cups like they were satin on your shoe. Like he hated the Cairo, hated it. He was like, no, it's all about, and a lot of foreign managers, you know, they maybe have that kind of stigma. It's all like the Premier League and Champions League. Let's be honest. Even with that team that we had in, 4 or 5 years ago, Dembele, Wanyama, we're not winning Champions League. We're not winning the Premier League against the likes of a City, Liverpool, even United when, they had a bit of a run, whatever. Like, I would have appreciated to get some sort of quote-unquote winner's mentality in the club. Go and get a Carabao Cup. Go get an FA Cup. Don't mess around and put Son at wing-back in a final or whatever it was. Do you know what I mean? Like, that ain't the one, man. So, I hear what you're saying, like, taking it, baby steps or whatever, four-year plan. But this league ain't waiting for you to take a four-year plan. You ain't got that time unless
what I'm trying to say is,
in 3-4 years, Newcastle will be buying some of the best players. We're going to build towards
that. Yeah, but it'll be different. What I'm trying to say is, Tottenham right now are in a sick position. They've got a decent team on the pitch, and you're strengthening it. And obviously, it sounds like you're going to make some more signings, which will be decent. What you don't want to get into the situation is, I don't know, just getting focused on the Carabao Cup or the FA Cup when you've got bigger fish to fry. You know what I mean? In terms of how far can you push City and Liverpool? I don't think you're a million miles away. You know what I mean? I don't think you, obviously, you will fully push us, but Chelsea were there at the start of the season. You know what I mean? You could have a better starting 11 maybe than Chelsea come the start of the season if you make some good improvements. All I'm saying is you don't want to push for the Carabao, because winning a Carabao Cup, right, it's not going to turn you into like this winning mentality. You ain't going to go and start winning loads of things. What will do that is by constantly being in that top four, pushing through that Champions League, getting to the later stages when people, the big players are looking at Tottenham every season in the quarterfinals, semi-finals of the Champions League. And then you're like, oh yeah, Tottenham, they're a sick team. Right now, I don't know, man. I just think that winning trophies, I know what you're saying. Yeah, you've got to win trophies, but I don't think that's the title.
I don't think they can afford to turn their nose up at the Carabao and the FA Cup. This is a team that have not won a trophy since 2008.
My first year of uni, yes.
Bro.
Don't remind them.
Carabao Cup holds no weight. Lewis is right.
It will for their supporters. Like we disrespect these competitions because we win trophies. Man City win trophies, right? Arsenal have won FA Cups. Liverpool, Man United. How can any Tottenham fan look at a Carabao Cup right now and be like, "That's too good"? They are yet to see some of these poor teenagers are yet to see their team lift something and go to school the next day and have chest. Are you mad? And you man are talking about they don't need a Carabao Cup. They need anything they can take.
What do you think of you going to school with his chest out about Carabao Cups?
It's better than not winning anything.
The thing is, I hear that. I'm not even saying Carabao is a major trophy, whatever. Yeah, what I'm saying
is
when Mourinho took over, every team that Mourinho took over, he's trying to go after Carabao just as a first opportunity. It's your earliest opportunity to get a day out of Wembley, big stage, millions watching, whatever, win something. Okay, Pep has taken the Carabao Cup very seriously because he knows at that stage in the season to have. Yes, I know. Obviously, Pep expects to be looking at. We're going for the title in April, expects to be going in the late stage of the Champions League, but he looks at it and goes, right, can I get a bit of a bounce in March? Can I let my rivals know that if it's a one-off game, I've got you? Do you know what I mean? Because when I go into April and I've got to go away to Anfield or away to Old Trafford or the Bridge, I need my players to know they can do it because they've done that one-off game before, or I need the opposition to know, yo, this team are coming and they can beat us that one-off game, regardless of form, all that kind of thing. Spurs don't have that at all in the DNA. And yes, I'm not going to trust, even now, even with Conte, I won't trust our team over 38 games. Do I think we'll finish in the top four next year? Yeah, I do. I think we've got enough quality for that. But in terms of anything beyond that, no. But give me 7-8 games, spread over a couple months here and there, win one game a month from January to May, win the FA Cup. Listen, it needs to be done. This season, let's go for it.
Tottenham need to win a trophy, period. That's the bottom line. Tottenham need to win a trophy.
And whatever it looks like, and whatever happens after that, we'll take care of itself. Let me just see a little... I know you got the Hendo shuffle, all them kind of things. Yo, Negro, I just need to see that.
When I walked out of that Carabao Cup final at Wembley, I didn't come on here and tell you, don't matter, Grizz is there with his cup. Oh, it doesn't matter, it doesn't mean anything. I was gutted. If you get to a final and you don't win the game, you're gutted. Man City have been racking up Carabao Cups for fun. Did you not enjoy winning that trophy?
No. Like, no, it's different though for us, Matisse, bro, because we're winning Premier Leagues, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but bro, so I understand your point that it's not enough, but they're not winning anything, bro. They're not going to win. They're not winning anything.
Dave, you just said it's one game a month. It's not one game a month. You got to throw in the Premier League games. You got to throw in the Carabao games. You got to throw Champions League, FA Cup. It's not just one game a month.
Only two teams can win.
Could derail the whole season.
Let's be realistic here. Tottenham are very unlikely to bridge a 25-point gap on City and Liverpool this season. The Champions League, Real Madrid have just strengthened. It's not easy to win these two competitions. Only two teams can win them. And one of them, other teams, the rest of Europe. Like, for me, yes, Tottenham should be trying to push for these trophies. But at the end of the day, the realistic chances of them winning one of these trophies next season is not... They're not you. They're not Liverpool. They're not one of the favourites. So you can never... For me, for them resting in the Carabao or the FA Cup, that would just tell me that, once again, they're not serious about trying to actually have a trophy and secure something where it could actually be a ripple effect and go on to win more trophies. I definitely believe that if you win something, you could then go on to win more. Harry Kane, Son, no trophies yet. You can't afford to not to turn your nose up at a trophy if you're those players.
In the past five years, I've seen you know, a really good Spurs team be put together, get to the Champions League final, FA Cup final, whatever, you know, FA Cup semi-final, whatever it is. We've seen some really good Spurs teams put together. Like I said, 1-11, on their day, they could beat anyone, right? And they were proving that, you know, they've beaten Man City a couple of times or whatever the case may be. But my thing is this, that's all well and good. Get the trophy now. Get the trophy and then you build. Then you turn around and say, yes, we maybe now, next season, maybe we finish 10 points behind or 12 points behind, but you got an FA Cup in the trophy cabinet. And then you turn around to a better player and go, right, cool, come join the project. Conte's doing what he's doing, right? We've got the trophy, we've got the kind of monkey off our back. let's move and let's see what we do going into the second or third season of Conte being around. And
yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That's a clear plan for me, because top four, as much as, yeah, everyone wants top four, and this season we're blessed to have got it. If you look at the past six seasons, we've got it 4 out of 6. And the two that we didn't get, well, that was some dark days, you know what I'm saying? Uh-oh. And then as soon as we got a decent manager in, and, you know, we avoided injuries to Kane and whatever, we're back in the hunt. So the quality is there in the squad. The quality is there in well, let's say the first 11. Now, add a few players that when you are rotating, because you've got, you know, the London derby, you got Arsenal in January, and you got an FA Cup game the week before, the week after, then you can turn around to your squad and say, yo, bro, give me a job. You're not looking at Bergwijn and Lucas Moura and, you know, Harry Winks to try and beat a tricky championship team. Just do the job, win the game in 60 minutes, and we move on.
Conte is also a winner. So if he wins something, you're probably more likely to keep him for the following season, because he's got the extra ammunition. Okay, this team are not a bunch of bottle jobs now. I can go again. If they don't win anything, and this guy's all about winning, his CV's all about winning. It's not about top four. It's about winning. If they don't win anything next year and he gets a better offer from a PSG or something, what's stopping him from going?
You should think Conte would stay if he won a Carabao Cup.
Yeah, I think he's more likely to stay than if he wins nothing.
No.
I don't think
Conte wins a Carabao Cup at Tottenham, he's won the first trophy for Tottenham since 2008.
I don't think he'd stay if he won a Carabao Cup, bro.
But I think winning their first trophy in what, how many, 15 years? That's a big deal. I think you get a knighthood.
I think it was a big deal. I just don't think he'd stay just because the guys won a Carabao Cup. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I agree. I don't think he'd stay just because of that.
Yeah.
But it is something where you look at it and go, right. And then actually he'll go back to Daniel Levy and go, right, look, you backed me. I got your first trophy in 15 years. Can I push on from that? Do you trust me to do that? Let's go again. We retool next summer and we see. There's too many duds in this team. I mean, there was so much rubbish in this team. Like, we're lucky to get some of the results that we do. And we're also lucky that Arsenal bottled it.
Son and Kane, man.
Well, you
can
play Son and Kane in every single game. That's another thing. You just said it yourself. You got a lot of duds in the team. When you can't play Son and Kane in every single match. You take them two out of the side. Totally different side, bro.
Which is why I'm looking at this transfer window. And I'm saying, right, get quality in. Where the drop-off isn't from Son to Bergwijn, it might be Son to Rafinha or whatever. Not saying that Rafinha's going to go in the team and score 15, 20 goals, but the drop-off is what we've always struggled with from our first team to our subs bench. We can't take that risk anymore, because it takes, even before this season that's coming up with all the fixtures, the weird World Cup in the middle, fixture crunch, Champions League, all that stuff, even before this season, you can take me back 5, 6 years, I look at our subs bench and go, there was no way we were going to win that semi-final. Do you know what I mean? We've got on a, you know, the Champions League thing kind of got people a bit messed up. They see the magic, all that stuff. We didn't win away in the league since January. I think Harry Winks scored away at Fulham to win the game 1-0, and we didn't win away in the league till October the following season. But we got to the Champions League final. A lot of magic, a lot of luck. We weren't the second best team in Europe. Do you know what I mean? Let's be real about where Spurs are at. So I'm seeing it and going, you look at your bench, what can they do? Can they get you the games? Like you said, when Son needs a rest, or when Kane's played, you know, 5 games in 4, 3 weeks or whatever, and you say, right, Kane, come out. Even if you change in the formation, we go 3-5-2, we've got an extra midfielder. We're looking at extra midfielders to come in, so we have that option to go to 3-5-2, play two up top. Let's see what we do in the transfer window. Paratici is on a good roll. Dr. Basuma, Perry Perisic. Let's see what happens next.
So, yeah, this is the same club that sacked Mourinho the week before the final, Matisse. So it doesn't seem like they rate the Carabao Cup, let alone what we're saying. Now. Do you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah, I get it. It's just, I think it's crazy.
I don't understand why we did that, but hey, here we are, Spurs.
Got a few super chats in before we do. Well, move on and wrap it up as well, because we're touching an hour and a half. Varun says, if United start winning the opening 3 games, Saeed would say United will win the league. I think United are in a worse situation than Chelsea. Sam says, nah, it's time to find out what's stronger. Conte's serial winning or Spurs DNA? Need to win something next season or you've got no hope. Ahmed says, yes, glad to see LB in the big six. Best club content creators, Jordan and Lewis, all City fans here for Lewis. And here he is again, 1,000 fans from the City Extra. LB and Jordan, the Kings. Love for the love, Ahmed. Come on, enjoying LB's first time appearance on the Big Six. He is going to be back again in a few weeks. Like I said, Daps will be back. Hugh will be back. Lewis will be back too. So look out for them ones. Grizz, I'm hurting, says Omar. Mane really set the standard. I think in terms of Man City, United and Liverpool, it's been a quiet week. But Mane signing for Bayern, he does look weird in a Bayern shirt. But Grizz, what more can you say that you haven't said in the last couple of weeks about Mane?
Yeah, man, that's pretty much that super chat nailed it, man. Sad to see a club legend, icon. And he's right, he set the standard. That was a brilliant super chat. Best super chat of the night.
But
he set the standard, man. He's my favorite player. I've said it so many times in so many streams. My favorite player under the Klopp era. Professionalism personified, work rate, low maintenance, everything that we discussed about the Lukaku deal, just totally opposite. This guy came in from Southampton, so much to prove. People talking about his 30 million fee, saying, oh, that's a bit steep. He's unproven. He's erratic, this and that. The guy started right wing, played left wing, ended up through the middle. Work, as I said, energy, press, absolute warrior. Can't speak highly enough of him. And absolutely no hard feelings towards him. He wants a new challenge. His last big contract. Fair play to him, man. Go and make a bag for your family and your country. And fair play to him, man. Long live Sadio Mane. He goes with my blessings and every single Liverpool fan's blessings too. You get the odd idiot that says, oh, he disrespected the club. Shut your mouth. The guy's a king.
And here's one
I think
for
it's
you,
an L, you know. I think it's I thought it was a massive L losing Mane, but I completely agree with it. I don't know if you said it, but I think he's so, so important to the team. I don't know whether he's more important than Salah. Maybe that's changed in recent years when Salah's gone on a madness. But what he gives the team in terms of an actual team performance, man, I think it's a huge loss, man. A huge loss. And I know they got some cash in. What was it, like 30, 40 million or whatever? But I don't know. Sometimes, obviously, if he wants to leave and he's banging on the door saying, get me out, you know what I mean? Then you don't really want to keep him. But I think the fee, man, I know the guy's 30 or whatever, but Sadio Mane we're talking about here. You know what I'm saying? Like,
It's not the age. It's more so the last year of his contract. And because they done us a good deal with Thiago, 25 mil for Thiago, we got good relations with him. And it was very amicably done. Sadio Mane said thank you. We said thank you. We bought him for 30 million. We got 6 years of him winning every single trophy that he could possibly win. And then we sold him for 5 million profit. Not many clubs can talk about business like that. So he goes with our blessings. I get from an opposition fan point of view saying, oh my God, he's so crucial. But a lot of Liverpool fans will also tell you that apart from his last 3-4 months since he come back from AFCON, he's not the same Sadio Mane for the last 9 months before that. You know, his performances have dipped. He hasn't got that explosive pace. Luis Diaz had come in on the left and shown us what Sadio was first like when he first joined. That acceleration and getting away, that X factor had gone from his game. But he did adapt to it brilliantly in the number 9 in the last few months. So I get what opposition people are saying and thinking, whoa, Sadio Mane, are you mad? But any Liverpool diehards would tell you the last 9 months before the AFCON, before the positional change. And then also people talking about we need to move on, we need to evolve. This three have been together for 6 years, six years. No strike force in the Premier League history has survived that long, man. Your York Coles, Aguero's, whoever his partner was, no strike force. You need to evolve slowly, slowly. We've done it nice and slowly undercover. Obviously not the Darwin Nunes, that's a big fee. But with Jota coming in, with Diaz coming in, and now with Nunes coming in, we've pretty much replaced our front three while still having Bobby and Salah still at the club. So it's sad, but I'm not fearful and worried about it. I'm a little bit anxious.
I'm not worried at all, bro. Because you look at Salah, yeah, he's done nothing really for the last 6 months. Yeah, his goal return and assist return has been poor for the last 6 months since he come back from AFCON. Obviously, a tough time in it, losing the final and not qualifying.
obviously, you're getting Nunes in, gamble. No one knows what's going to happen with there. Luis Diaz, I still think, needs to go up a level before, like, you know, he's you know, on what Mane's levels were. You said it before, Mane was like that when he first come in. So, I mean, there surely must be some anxiety there, bro. In terms of, like, you know, what's going to happen this season?
Yeah, there's anxiety, but I think it's over. But it's overriding with excitement. And the reason for that is because the way Jurgen Klopp makes these players, that what you've said is spot on. What you've said is spot on about the players. But what I can tell you from being a Liverpool fan is we had the same anxieties about Mane when he signed, Jota when he signed, Salah when he signed. All of these were unproven, as you're saying, and you're absolutely right to say that. But we know the levels they reached, and it's exciting to see if these guys can emulate the levels that their predecessors have reached as well. And I'm looking at it from that point of view.
This super chat kind of falls in line with that as well. Pac-Man says, big season coming up for Liverpool. If they don't get a major trophy this season, comparison with City and Liverpool. And Pep and Klopp have to stop. Pressure's on now, Grizz. Round up that one for us and we'll...
Pressure's always on, bro. Big teams, big clubs. Pressure's always on. I agree. Pressure's on. Of course pressure's on.
Calm. Listen, people, 5K still in the building. A couple more things before we do call it a night. Subscribe to Lewis at City Extra. Show him some love. Subscribe to Touchline Frackers and David. Tobes is on that channel. Steve's on City Extra. So obviously, you know what they're all about. So go show some love. As usual, Saeed, Grizz, Matisse, Skullfuggery, the official channel. This channel, subscribe. Hit the like button. We're on about 1.4K likes. Let's get up to 2K as you guys are leaving. And FM London, the sponsor, 10% off all men's items. Anytime you need it, go through that link, people. Show some love to the sponsor. They're helping make the official Big Six channel possible. We're linking up next month, so we're going to get some more content done on that channel. So make sure you're subscribed. The notification bell is on. And make sure you're supporting the man them as usual, people. Lewis, love for coming on. We'll see you again in a few weeks, my guy.
Cheers, bro. Enjoy David,
it, man. We enjoyed it too. David, love for coming in. Last minute.
No, all good, man. All good. Loved it.
Yeah. Appreciate that. We'll definitely keep you in the loop as well. And we got more stuff coming on the official channel, so I'll talk to you more about that. Love for the love, people. Hit the like button on the way out. We'll be back next Wednesday, 10 p.m. after Love Island, because a lot of you guys are out here.
Yeah, Matisse.
But it is what it is.
We've exposed them before. You're watching it too, bro.
I heard you doing what you...
Bro, listen, don't try to expose me, because I know Saeed's watching out for a couple of things on that. Don't everybody's out of business. Come on, stop it now.
Man's gonna watch along, you know. It's all mad. It's all mad. Not on the Big Six channel, that's for sure. Love for the love, people.